I'd like you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to Psalm 119. I just finished this last week, in fact, on December the 31st. I finished reading through the Psalms for the second time this year, and Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. And when we had Joy Club here, and I sure wish we could have Joy Club again, but there was a little tune that we used to sing. I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure, and so we travel together, my Bible and I. Okay? I see some lips moving, so I think some people know that song. But that's where the title of the message comes from tonight. And I want us to look at Psalm 119, verses 9, and on down through verse 16 tonight. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 16. The Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Heavenly Father, we do pray for these burdens that are upon our hearts, and we pray that you might certainly superintend in the details of Daniel and Krista getting back to Boston and having good health. And Father, we would pray for Wendy tonight, that you would undertake in her behalf. And Father, we think of Joe tonight, and Lord, we know that there is great pain, and we ask that you might, in your special way, give great grace. And then, Lord, we pray as well tonight that you might continue to help the Steinbarts on their way. Father, you know how to provide for them and their needs at this time. And Lord, we just ask that you will go before them and open the right doors and supply according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Father, thank you for your faithfulness in this family and how that they have stuck with it in spite of difficulties in Lynette's health this past year. And Father, that they would able to have at least 30 meetings in this difficult year that we have just come through. Father, we thank you for your special grace in their lives and for what you will do as they serve you to train other nationals to go not only to Kenya, but to the surrounding areas. And so, Lord, we anticipate your blessing. We ask for your special care. And Lord, help us to have our eyes open to the eyes of the our eyes open to the truth and your word. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the attacks that is as old as the Garden of Eden is the attack upon the Word of God. Satan caused doubt, and then he insinuated that they could deny God's word as he came to Eve, and then Adam and Eve were plunged into deception, and then finally Adam into deliberate disobedience. Certainly the attacks on the inspiration of the Bible and the authority of the Bible rage on today, and that is so true. I remember when I was going to seminary, there was a lot going on in the areas of new evangelicalism and liberalism. And there still is. I wish somebody would do a good course update. I know there's courses in contemporary theology and what's going on today. And someday, if your pastor ever gets the time, I'd love to take one of those courses. Get an update, huh? But this goes back to the book Harold Lindzell wrote, The Battle for the Bible. And that was way back in 1960s. And he said this was what was going on in the National Council of Churches. He said at during that time, only one in four accepts biblical miracles amongst the pastors, the professors, the teachers, and so on in the National Council of Churches. One in four, 25% would not accept biblical miracles. And then he went on to say that, in fact, one-third of the respondents believe that such miracles can be explained by natural causes. How can you explain the miracle of the virgin birth any other way than God can do it, huh? How can you explain the other miracles that Jesus did as he walked the face of this earth, feeding the 5,000 with their wives and their children, probably up to 15,000 with a boy's small lunch? Now, who can do that? I mean, anybody that has that kind of knack, they would have it made at the grocery store, wouldn't they? But here was these people that say these things are just incredible. They all say the devil definitely does not exist, one in three. And then only 15% believe that children are born in sin. And then others certainly say that they did not have any certainty of life after death. How can you live that way and call yourself a religious person, huh? It is just incredible the attacks that have come upon the Word of God. Satan knows how powerful the Word of God is. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and he knows that if he can get people to doubt it, to deny it, to be deceived about it, that they will be vulnerable to him. Bishop Pike was in the Episcopalian Church. He denied the Trinity, he denied the virgin birth, he denied hell, and sought help of a medium after his son's death, and promoted the cause of Planned Parenthood and LGBT, and ended up seeking the historical Jesus in a Judean desert where he died. Folks, aren't you glad you don't have to go to the desert to find Jesus? We've got him right here tonight. Amen? And we can see him, who he is, in the Bible so clearly. And all because he did not accept the Bible as the authority in his life. These are tragic illustrations of those who claim to be religious but deny the authority and the inspiration of the Bible. You and I may never succumb to heretical denial of the Bible truth. I hope that no one in this room will ever succumb to that point. But certainly, we do need to give evidence that we have a heart for the Word of God by the importance we give to the Bible in our room, in our lives. Folks, I look out here at Sunday night, and sometimes I almost want to cry. I say, is this all the more that's important to people in our church? To be here to hear the Word of God. Folks, this has to be something that is so important in our life that we can almost not live without it. Folks, it is wonderful to be where the Word of God is. Amen? And to have it impact our lives. We had a deacon in our church in South Dakota. He's with the Lord now. And he used to say, I would not miss prayer meeting if it was the last thing, because he says it's the oasis in the desert. This man had a very prominent position in a business in South Dakota. And he knew that the desert feeling of what surrounded him in the workplace. And he had to be refreshed by the Word of God. And Psalm 119, 9 through 13 tells us there are four ways you and I may give evidence that we truly believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And so I want us to look at these verses very carefully. First of all, in verse 9, It says there, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. In other words, we're to take heed to the word of God. We're to obey it. We're to submit ourselves to what it says, to carry it out in real life. Dr. McLaughlin used to talk about plastic Christians. They're kind of fake, huh? They don't put the word of God into life. We ought to have a reality about us by being obedient to the word of God. Notice these words in verse 9. Wherewithal. How many of you have used the word wherewithal lately? Okay. Wherewithal has the idea to earnestly do something. Not haphazardly, but with earnestness, that we sincerely apply the word of God and make it real in our hearts and in our lives. Certainly our attitude towards the word of God is to be an earnest one. We would teach the children in Joy Club, obedience is the very best way to show that you what? Believe. I think we as adults need to understand that as well. But there's another word here in verse 9. He says, wherewithal shall a young man, okay, cleanse his way. Certainly, the best time to learn and apply God's word is when it's early in life. I thank God for a wife who was a mother to our four children. And when we had our first child, we learned that the best time to teach a child to memorize the word of God is between the ages of 3 and 4. If you can get it into their hearts then, it's amazing how quickly they absorb. Carly and I brought along a little memory packet. It's called Renewing Your Mind, and this, but they've changed the title of it. And what I like about this is that I can slip this in my pocket. When I have some spare time, I can put this out and I can say, I'm working on this verse this week, and that's going to help me. Now, you may not be able to memorize like a 3 or 4 year old child, but you can memorize the word of God in time, no matter how old you are. And certainly what I have found, that older people, they have put the word of God in their hearts when they were young, and that comes back again and again and again to them. That's so true. Certainly the best time to learn and apply God's word is early in life. A habit in youth will be easily a pattern in life for older years. You may come to Christ later in life, and praise God for those that do come to Christ later in life. We've seen some of that. And when that does happen, I believe the psalmist would say to them, obey in the early years that you have found Christ as your Savior. Okay? In other words, we've had some folk here in our church come to know the Lord, not when they were young as children or as teenagers, but they're adults. Some of them midlife, some of them later life. And they need to take that time to certainly begin a walk with the Lord and to obey the word of God. Expectantly obey and cleanse. It also says that we should cleanse our hearts. He says, wherewithal shall a young man, so it's earnestly, early, and then essential. The essential is to cleanse our hearts with the word of God. Tom Malone had a church out in Michigan years and years ago, and he told the story about an elderly veteran saint that was sitting down with a young believer. And the young believer hadn't got into the word of God very much, but this older Christian was coming alongside and discipling him and helping him. And they were in a farming community. And the young man says to this older Christian, he says, I read the Bible, but I'm not getting too much out of it. I don't understand it all. Ever been there? You've got to do some digging when that happens, right? To get in it and to understand it. And the young man was a little bit discouraged. And the older veteran, he had one of those things that I used to see at Grandpa and Grandma's house. I don't know if some of you that have some white hair like me have seen these things, but do you remember the wood baskets that were woven that they used to put apples in, and they had the metal hand? Yeah, somebody's nodding their head. they're identifying with me. There's hope. Okay, and so he took this basket, this farm basket. You know, sometimes they would carry grain in it, sometimes apples, different things. And he said to this young man, there was a stream nearby. He says, I want you to go down to the stream. And he said, I want you to fill up this basket with water. Okay? Did you ever see those wooden baskets that were woven together? That they weren't airtight, folks. And so he goes down and he fills up his basket with water, gets back up there, and it's almost empty. And the old veteran says, go down there to the creek again and fill it up again. And the guy goes down there and he fills it up. This young man, he comes back. Oops. It's about empty again. He says, go down there one more time. And he goes back down there and he comes back. And it's about empty again. And the old veteran Christian says, now, have you noticed any difference about the basket? The man looked at that basket. He says, yes. He says, it's cleaner than when I took it down there the first time. Isn't that true? The more we read the Word of God, the more we see of ourselves, the more we have our heart cleansed. Amen? And that is absolutely essential. Whether you understand everything that you read, your heart will be cleansed as God speaks to you out of the Word of God and you ask for His cleansing. That is one of the benefits of reading the Word of God on a regular basis. And certainly, as we read that Word of God, we also need to obey it. James says, let us not only be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. That is obedience to the Word of God, and that's so important. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That is so important. If we truly have a heart for the word of God, we will expect that God will transform and cleanse our lives as we read it. Certainly, do we come to the word of God with the expectation that we will be cleansed through the reading of it? That's promised by Jesus. And if so, you will be blessed by God with a clean life. Certainly, there is weakness without the Word of God, but there's also a life that can become filled with sin and the pollution in this world if we do not allow God's Word to be a regular part of our life. There is a second thing I believe I want us to see tonight. In verse 10, not only should we submit to it or obey it, but we also should seek the word of God. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Certainly, we can wander from the word of God. And God wants us not to do that. I want us to take our Bibles for a moment and turn back to 2 Chronicles, I believe it is. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Getting there. There is a prophet by the name of Azariah, and he comes and he speaks to King Asa. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2, it's interesting. It says, and he went out to meet Asa, Azariah did, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, certainly we need to be seeking the Lord on a regular basis, and here was Asa, and he was being put to the challenge. What was he going to do concerning these things? And we find down in verse 12, it says, And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God with their fathers and with all their heart and with all their soul. And then in verse 17, it says there that, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all of his days. Oh, that we would not wander from the commandments of God, but that we would stay clinging to those things that are in the Word of God. That is so important for our lives today, that we do so. As I think about that, there's some things I would like to encourage you. Don't have a doubtful heart. That was Satan's first attack, wasn't it? And Paul would write to the Romans and he'd say, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. A doubtful heart will cause you to miss important truth and a walk with a living Lord. You say, how did you know that, Pastor? There was a man that was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was his name? Doubting Thomas. Thomas, he missed the first appearance of Jesus Christ. He didn't gather with the other disciples and he missed the living Lord, didn't he? Certainly, he missed an opportunity to hear what the word of the Lord would be to him. And certainly, we need to be faithful and not have a doubting heart. We need to stay away from having a divided heart as well. To be divided in heart means to be focused in two different directions. If you take your Bibles and turn to James, in James chapter 1, we see about the divided heart of the doubting person. It says in verse 6, But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Certainly, we will not be seeking the Lord with a doubtful or a divided heart. This, if you have a divided heart, it will cause turmoil, it will cause confusion, it will rob you of answers to prayer, and you'll get your eyes off the Lord. Have you ever sat down to read the Word of God and you find your mind wandering? Huh? Or you find that there's other things that keep flashing in your head, so that you can't concentrate like you should? Oh, how we need to certainly realize that there are many things that are going to distract us from the Word of God and not have a distracted heart either. And then we need that devoted heart. This is the individual that lives consistently for the Lord and not up and down, but is stable. Daniel and Joseph and Esther and Ruth and Paul were determined to follow the Lord no matter what surrounded them. And certainly a life that is consistently devoted to the Lord loves the instruction of God's word on a regular basis. You say, are there any benefits for that? Do you know there are many benefits? Can you think of any passage that we have been preaching through recently, any book that we've been going through that talks about those benefits? Do you remember when we got to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the benefits of the Word of God, and it says that God has given pastors and teachers who are going to proclaim God's word for this purpose, for the equipping of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then he says that it will also bring unity till we all come into the unity of the faith. If there's going to be something that is going to keep our church together, it is the Word of God. I remember one time going into a team ministry, and I said to my team partner, I said, there'll be one thing that will keep us together, and there'll be one thing that will divide us. And the one thing that will keep us together is the Word of God. And the thing that will divide us is when we do not agree on the Word of God. Certainly, that is so true. And then there's the benefit there of maturity. He says, until we come into of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then it's that stability that we be not tossed to and fro, and so on. Those are some tremendous benefits that come from a heart that's devoted to God. And oh, how I thank God for this Sunday night crowd that comes faithfully, that you might benefit and that you might be devoted to the Word of God. Certainly, Jesus used the Word of God to overcome three powerful temptations of Satan, and we must have the Word of God rooted in our heart so that we can be victorious over sin. How many of you have the feature yet? I hope you have the feature already. And certainly that's a wonderful thing. But on Saturday this week, okay, this is a preview, okay? A preview of Saturday's feature devotional, okay? I love to read the devotionals of George Zeller. He's certainly right on target so many times. And he had a devotional on Psalm 119, verse 31, and it has this idea of certainly being stuck on the Word of God. We need to be sticking to the Word of God, not only submitting to the Bible, but sticking to the Word of God. And I thought it was so interesting when he brought that word out. He says in verse 31 there of Psalm 119, verse 31, he says, get to it here, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Okay? And now stuck can be used in several ways, right? You ever been stuck in the snow? Ever been stuck in the mud? He brings that one out. He says, you're stuck there until you get extracted. Okay? It's good to be stuck in the Word of God. He says also, he said, as you think about it, he says, sometimes we're tied up in traffic. It is all around us. And sadly, we are part of it. But isn't it wonderful to be all tied up in the Word of God? Boy, when you get in the Word of God, sometimes you say, oh, where did that time go? Sometimes my wife, when I'm studying, she says, it's dinner time. I said, really? Yeah, that is so important for us as well. And he goes on and he talks about also some other things here. How that it's to be our joy, our routine in life, that we certainly make it the center of our lives. But he uses the word stuck as that which is clinging tightly, to hold to fast, or to adhere to something like glue. Certainly, Ruth clinged to Naomi. In Genesis 2:24, also uses the word in reference to marriage. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave or cling unto his wife. And the marital bond is a close, intimate connection, and so must it be between the believer and his Bible or her Bible. Amen? Well, if we just would stick that close to the Word of God, God could do such wonderful things for us as we follow Him. And so that's important for us tonight as well. And then we need to seal the Bible. Not only do we need to submit to the Bible or seek the Bible and have it stick to us, but we also need to have the Bible that we seal it to our hearts in verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Certainly, we need to learn the Bible. Now, it takes some mental activity. We must know the meaning of the words before it has meaning to you. One of the keys to teaching children the Word of God is to teach them the meaning first. And it's so amazing to watch after that they know the meaning, how quickly they learn the verse. And so that is just so vital. If you don't know what a verse means, if you're like that young man that says that I don't understand it, then get a Bible dictionary, get a Bible concordance and use it and grasp what God is saying to you in the context of the passage. Many times if you look at the verses that go before, the verses that go after, you can grasp the Word of God in a very special way. We need to learn the phrases when we memorize the Word of God, but we also need to learn it as a whole. Many times I break it down, and my wife will say to me, "No, we need to say the whole thing together, huh?" But I want to know what the different parts and how those parts fit together, huh? But at the same time, we need to get the whole thing as we memorize the Word of God. And then we need to repeatedly memorize the Word of God. There was an evangelist that he talked about David's five smooth stones. Do we get the Word of God so memorized that it's like a smooth stone that we can put in the slingshot and that we can use it in a time that we need it to overcome the giants that may come in our life? Certainly that's important. We need to learn it by seeing where it fits into our daily life. Learn it prayerfully and ask for God's help and understanding. We not only need to learn the Word, but we need to love the Word of God. It has to be not only in the mind, but in the heart. And the psalmist did not put it in his head, but in his heart. That means he loved the Word more than anything else. And he learned the Word, but he also loved it. How much do we love the Word of God? In Job 23, verse 12, Job said that He valued the Word of God more than his essential food. Anybody hungry? Okay. We get hungry on a regular basis. What if we got hungry for the Word of God and putting it in our hearts three times a day? Wow. Do we love it more than money? Did you notice verse 14 as we were reading the text today? It says, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in a few pennies." All riches. Okay? He says, this is where the wealth is at. And you go down to verse 72 in Psalm 119. He says, The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Certainly, we ought to love the Word of God more than money. We all use money almost daily in our lives to make transactions, but we ought to be making transactions with God through His Word as well. And then we ought to certainly love it more than sleep. This is pretty interesting. In Psalm 119 and 148, it says, "Mine eyes prevent the night watches." Did you hear Sister Arlene's testimony tonight? She woke up in the night and God used a hymn to speak to her. I haven't sung that hymn and I don't know when, and it spoke to my heart again tonight too. And it was because our sister was awoke in the night and she looked to God for something that would speak to her heart. In 148, he says, "Mine eyes prevent the night watches." And there will be times when you wake up. And in those times, go back to the Word of God. That's many times that when I've been memorizing a portion of God's Word, I say, I want to see if I can say it right now. And God has something there for me. I hope that you do that, that you love it more than sleep when those sleepless moments come. Certainly, live the Word. Sin will keep you from the Bible, and the Bible will keep you from sin. I remember writing that in the Bible Clubbers' Bibles. We would give a new Bible to every child that learned the books of the Bible. Oh, they love to see those nice red hardcover Bibles and say, "That's mine." But we wanted them to get that word into their hearts and how precious it was. And it's so true. Sin will keep us from the Bible, or the Bible will keep us from sin. And when the Word of God gets in our heart, we will not deviate from the Word of God. We will live the Word because we love the Lord and His Word. But not only do we need to see tonight that we need to submit to the Word of God, we need to seek the Word of God, we need to seal God's Word to our heart, but we also need to speak the Word of God. And he says in verse 13, he says, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Certainly, we need to speak the Word of God in its entirety. Paul would say that he had proclaimed the whole counsel of the Word of God. We need to speak it confidently and authoritatively from the lessons well learned in life, as we've been taught by the Lord. Roger and Hope gave me a book from one of their favorites, the son of the man who started this church, Thomas Nieman. And Thomas Nieman said that if you're looking for a good pastor, look for the one who already has learned the things and has put them into his life rather than just talking about them. Isn't that right? That is important for us to understand. And so that is so important for us. It is one thing to have head knowledge. It is another thing to understand it as a result of the Spirit of God impressing the Word on our hearts. We ought to speak because we know the reality and of the truth of the message that we've read. Could it be that too many are silent about the Scriptures because they have never learned the lessons God has taught to them? Folks, sometimes we can be remedial learners, but we better learn sometime if it's going to impact our life so we can impact someone else's life. Certainly, he said that he would speak it completely, all thy judgments. It speaks of Christ the Savior. It speaks of the heart of man. And certainly, the Word of God leads men out of darkness and leads them to heaven. We ought to speak it contritely from our heart. Certainly, a heart that is contrite will realize that they have been rescued from this darkness of sin. Do you remember where you were before you were saved? Oh my, we were in desperate straits and God rescued us. Do we speak it because the Savior has become real to us? And do we speak it because the grace of God has reached the depths of our hearts? Certainly, all of these things are important to us tonight. I hope that we will submit to the Word of God. I hope that we will seek the Word of God, seal the Word of God to our hearts, and then speak it. Certainly, when we do, we will have the evidence that truly the Word of God is important to us and that we believe what it says, that it is truth. Do you have a heart for the Word of God? I hope that you do. I hope that you're obeying it, living it, loving it, and telling others of its truths. May we determine to have a heart for God's Word in 2021. Heavenly Father, we pray that the Word of God might be precious to us on a daily moment. And Father, I pray that we might see the things, the truths that you would have for us. But oh, how we need the cleansing. Oh, how we need to have you teach us those lessons so that we would not fall into the errors of doubting and denying. And Father, help us, Father, to love your word because of its many benefits, but mainly because it draws our hearts closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for what you will do as we regard your word as precious and make it a part of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.